The kids have been exposed to many different people. They enjoy telling their friends about our gay cross-dressing neighbour, who was their nanny while we were overseas. They love living in the valley with its melting pot of cultures and lifestyles. In all the years we've been a family, they have never been rejected by anyone or harassed or teased about their parents or their lifestyle. Even in the small Catholic community in which Ben goes to school, he's never been teased, he's never been harassed, and he's not the only kid with two mums. Both kids have enjoyed having friends who come over to stay, and no other parent's kid has ever suggested that our home or our family is anything other than normal and loving. Both kids tend to take the front foot on the gay mums topic. Madeline has determined that she has control over how people respond to her family. She's proud of both her parents and never tries to explain or apologise for her family. And she ensures that she never hands over the power to anyone to hurt or humiliate her. I can't tell you how proud this makes us. We take our inspiration from a gay American gossip columnist named Dan Savage. And if you haven't read his books, we thoroughly recommend them. His hilarious account of parenting his adopted son, DJ, brings us to tears. And that's what we think there should always be abundance of in our household, hilarity and laughter. Let me describe our home. We live in a four-bedroom apartment in Tenerife, which is about 2 kilometres here from the city. In our house, there are two adults, Helen and I, two teens, Ben and Maddie, and two crazy, spoilt, silky terrier dogs, Claude and Vincent, who you'll meet a little bit later. I work for Diabetes Australia Queensland, managing the marketing and development unit. I have 10 staff. Helen has recently retired from working full-time as the manager of strategic projects and policy at the Queensland Performing Arts Centre. She's now going to run our consulting business. We have about half a dozen clients. We both work about 60 hours a week. I've been completing my master's in business at QUT for the past 3 years, so it's a busy household. Maddie's in year 10 at the newly established Queensland Academy for Creative Industries at QUT's Kelvin Grove campus. She's artistic and she's gorgeous. She also has a part-time job as a waitress at a local restaurant in the valley, and she works a couple of hours each weekend. Ben is in year 7 at local Catholic primary school. He's bright and popular with the girls, not so popular with the teachers. He's into computers, wrestling and TV. A very typical 12-year-old boy, and next year he'll be starting high school at the local Catholic boys' college up the road. We're strict, and we make no apologies for it. Access to computer and TV is monitored, and we spot check to make sure that everybody's playing by the rules. Punishment for non-compliance is usually the removal of these sort of privileges. I've often noticed that Ben and Maddie react more to our disappointment in removal of PlayStation, TV, computer. They respond more to the breach of trust than they do to the removal of the playthings. And I'm always astounded at the impact of early bedtime. It's highly underrated by most parents, I think, but it's a highly effective punishment in our household. We eat dinner together every single night. The television is turned off and we discuss our day, the good, the bad and the ugly. We've ensured that we know all of their friends and they're encouraged to have their friends over often. We make the effort to drive the kids to and from places, and we make decisions about when taking public transport is appropriate. I drive Maddie to school every morning. It's our time. We discuss school, problems, music, friends, even boys. She catches the bus home. She is incredibly open with me, something my own mother never was. And I've heard people say to me that I've actually taken the approach of anything my parents did, I've done the opposite. And then that's not entirely true. But what I have done, and what Helen has done as well, is we've accepted that our kids have different opinions from us. And that's actually a really good thing, because they have to see the world, their world, in the way it relates to them. So we encourage them to have a difference of opinion, and we encourage them to talk to us about it. They need to make decisions based on their world and the consequences of their own actions. Here comes the sad part. Helen's family and my family have completely rejected us and the kids. For a long time, this abandonment really hurt. And Comments included that we'd be responsible for the kids becoming drug addicts and that they'd commit suicide sometime in the future. There was never any attempt by either of our families to see our relationship for what it was. It's loving, monogamous, happy, and despite all of their hopes and ambitions, it's long-term. I've been subjected to years of being called sick and unstable and disgusting, not words you expect to hear from people who are supposed to love you unconditionally. My parents have told extended family and friends that I'm mentally unstable and that I won't seek help. And I guess they are hoping that one day God will make me straight. Our parents are no longer a part of our lives, a conscious decision that we made when we realised that their hateful, intolerant attitude was more likely to cause the kids damage than anything that we could do. We hope that we've explained to the children in the kindest way that their grandparents are from a different generation when gay people were not as accepted as they are today. I think it's highly amusing that it's my mother's birthday today and here I am speaking at the PFLAG conference. Helen wants to actually send her a copy of the presentation. And I don't know whether I'll let her do it or not yet. We've been fortunate that surrogate grandparents have enthusiastically stepped into the vacancy and we didn't have to advertise. We have wonderful friends, Barb and George, who have become grandma and grandpa. George takes Ben fishing, talks about blokey things, and even lets him pee off the back of the boat. We have made a huge effort to give the kids a sense of extended family via an amazing circle of friends. So we have a group of honorary aunts, uncles, cousins who love us and the kids unconditionally. As parents of gays and lesbians, I applaud you for opening your minds and your hearts to accept that love comes in all shapes and sizes. Love is wonderful and can overcome all obstacles, except where my parents are concerned. Well, you haven't hit the terrible teens yet, is what probably many of you are saying to yourselves. Well, no, we haven't, but we're constantly negotiating with the kids new boundaries as they get older. Everything from bedtime to dating gets discussed and then we agree on the terms to move forward. To do this, we recently established the family meeting. It sounds ominous, I know. This is an evening once a month where we can raise issues, reassess boundaries and check on everybody's progress. Anyone can call a meeting at any time, and if there's an urgent issue, then the expectation is that a meeting will be called. The parameters of the meeting are no raised voices, no interrupting and respect for each other's opinions. At the end of the discussion, if a decision has to be made, Helen's and my word is final. Our most recent family meeting was three... It is final. It is final. Ben, is it final? Yes, thank you. Good boy. Our most recent family meeting was 3 weeks ago, where Helen and I had to explain to the kids that Helen had a tumour and would need immediate surgery. This conversation was one of the hardest we've ever had to have with the kids. Lots of really difficult questions, and Helen and I didn't actually have a lot of answers. She had successful surgery on the 24th of May. However, complications that followed included a golden staph infection and a blood clot. Well done, Hel. Ben and Maddie have both demonstrated incredible maturity and compassion, not only in how they responded to Helen's physical and emotional needs at this time, but also their understanding of my need to focus on Helen. Both kids have certainly discovered their own voices. They have very firm positions on lots of different issues and have both confidently come out to us as being straight. despite Helen offering a greater share of the inheritance to anyone who makes us proud. The advice... It's true. Ben, is it true? Yes. And it still didn't work. The advice I would give any parent: love them, guide them, and don't ever give up on them. They'll drive you nuts. Both the kids drive us nuts all the time. But every single minute, every single second is worth it. As a same-sex parent, I believe that we can give our kids and their friends the gift of appreciating the extraordinary role that gay people play in our community. So are we team dysfunctional? No, I think it's more like team sensational. So I've spoken to you about Ben and Maddie and Helen and our adopted family, and now I'd like you to meet them via a quick PowerPoint presentation that we prepared earlier.